Epilogue. Epigraph. Your words have enormous creative power. The moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. This is a spiritual principle, and it works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. Joel Osteen. During a time of spiritual darkness, a crass and carnal monk named Johann Tetzel conned the commoners of his day into buying indulgences. Tetzel took a complex Catholic creed on purgatory, and he reduced it to a catchy couplet. As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. His pitch was intoxicatingly simple. People could purchase a pardon from God that would purge them from a place called purgatory. Unbelievably, thousands fell for the ruse. In fact, the masses from monks to magistrates hailed Tetzel as a messenger from heaven. Capitalizing on spiritual insecurity and scriptural illiteracy, he fleeced the flock in order to fund papal projects as well as his own extravagant lifestyle. Although Tetzel's methods for merchandising the gospel were outrageous, no one seemed willing to expose him. His popularity, backed by the power of Rome, seemed too formidable a foe. That is, until a monk named Martin Luther came along. Luther could no longer go along with the con. And so, in 1517, Luther nailed his famous 95 Theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. In layman's language, Luther's 95 Theses protested the pillaging of the poor by the Pope. Luther labeled the notion that a soul would fly out of purgatory when money fell into the coffers of the church as, well, a perverted prescription for avarice and gain. He expressed outrage that a person would attempt to purchase God's pardon with money. He called the treasuries of indulgences nets with which the preachers of pardon fished for the riches of men. Luther contended that the real reason Rome was selling indulgences was not the spiritual well-being of the saints, but the financial well-being of the Pope and of his pet project, the building of the Basilica of St. Peter. He wrote with great passion that the Mother Church in Rome would be better burnt to ashes than that it would be built with the skin, flesh, bones of the Pope's sheep. He added further perspective by asking why a rich Pope, whose riches are at this day more ample than that of the wealthiest of the wealthy, would not build the basilica with his own money, rather than taking the meager resources of the poor. Rome's reaction was swift and severe. Luther was labeled a child of the devil, a drunken German who, when sober, would change his mind. But Luther did not change his mind. Under the ban of the empire and a bull of excommunication, Luther displayed raw courage, rare communication skills, and rich convictions. When asked to recant, he responded with the famous words, "My conscience is captive to the word of God. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. May God help me." Luther's courage established a mighty reformation that exposed the prosperity message of his day. Well, today another reformation is sorely needed. We would do well to remember that the accumulation of wealth is not the purpose or the calling of any of God's children. Yes, God prospers some, but he places others in more humble circumstances. Our attitude towards health and wealth should mirror the Apostle Paul's outlook in the book of Philippians. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. We need to remind ourselves that while we have been promised an eternal inheritance far beyond our wildest dreams, God's promise for us on this earth sometimes takes on a darker hue. It has been granted to you, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. Moreover, we need to consider both the warning and the glorious hope that the Apostle lays out for us. Hear the words of the Apostle, "I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." Wealth comes from the Lord, says Paul, not from positive confessions, but don't get too attached to it. What you have, use for the furtherance of the gospel and for the betterment of those around you. Expect that hardship will come your way. And never forget that one day Jesus will roll up this earth like a ball of yarn and will bestow upon us a body that will never decay, never hurt, never be in need of food or gold or earthly riches. In other words, lead your life here below as a responsible steward so that one day at the judgment, God Himself will richly reward you. It's your choice. You can swallow the nonsense of the health and wealth gospel, or you can set your heart on the deep satisfaction that comes only through using your resources generously to further the gospel and improve the lot of those around you. You can live responsibly as a steward of God's resources and expect Him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Or you can pervert His message and let these words fall with full force upon your foolish soul. "I tell you the truth, you have your reward in full."